that guy is successful or he's done well for himself. You know, I think immediately there are a few things that come to mind. And I have to say, you know, and if you can just go to this next slide there, you know, I went, you know, it's a little bit light, but I went to the internet and just typed in successful, you know, and I wanted to see what comes up, you know, and it's these pictures there, you know, just, you know, somebody getting a degree, somebody here with his yacht, somebody winning a medal, but most of them were money, going up a ladder towards the dollar, going up the ladder towards money, having a big house. And the measure of success, as this bottom right hand here, is how much money you have, you know. And so, you know, you might be coming from a poor background and then suddenly you've worked yourself up. And, you know, many people would say, oh, person is successful, you know, and you might have a degree or two or three even and have your own company. And, you know, people will say, you know, person is successful. And I might even go as far as saying that we even use the word blessed in that sense as well. You know, we say the people have been blessed. Now, I want to talk about this today because I have not heard somebody saying, maybe somebody living in our own town, maybe in the DRC, that anybody is blessed there, anybody is successful. And that is, you know, a little bit what I want to challenge, want to talk about. But can we just pray? Lord, we've come empty-handed before you, Lord. We came into this world, Lord, empty-handed. We even come, Lord, even today we come before you empty-handed. And Lord, we know that you are the majesty, Lord. You, as you hung on that cross there, you were the King of Kings, and we praise you for that. We want to pray this morning, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word. You will just touch us where our need is, Lord. And I pray that these words that I might say, Lord, that they might come out right. They might, Lord, bless those that need a blessing, Lord, and they will most of all glorify you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it was probably 2 months ago, I visited a person in Mondesa. And, you know, it's a gentleman who has a severely handicapped child. You know, it's a son that is 9 years old, and, you know, the son can't talk, he can't walk, he can't eat any solid food. And, you know, it was, first of all, a very humbling experience to go in that house and see how a family of five can, you know, live in a little house of two rooms, a father and his four children. And, you know, the one child being, you know, having to sit all the time in a wheelchair, have to be carried around and so on. And it's very, you know, a humbling experience, I have to say. And, you know, I spent some time there, and then later in that week, the gentleman came around to me and, you know, I asked him how he was. And it, you know, I expected him to say, it's going difficult, and, you know, and he'd say to me, I'm blessed, you know, and I said to him, what do you mean you're blessed? He said, no, I'm blessed with this lovely son that I have. And I, you know, obviously one says, you know, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, my son has never said a bad thing about me, you know, and I started to laugh actually a bit, and I said, yeah, of course he can't talk, so he can't say anything bad about you. But I could see he didn't he didn't think this was that funny, you know, because he said, exactly. He said, my son has never said a bad thing about me. And most of all, you know, God blessed me with a son, and he's taught me a lot of things. He's taught me, you know, how to be humble, how to go through this life with, you know, with a little and be blessed. You know, that was a quite a humbling experience as well, you know. And he said to me, even his wife who had left him, says she doesn't know what she's missing, you know, with this child. And, you know, does he have it easy with this child, or does he have, you know, easy with the financial burden that he actually has because of the special food that he needs and all of those things? I don't think he has it easy, and I think he realizes that he doesn't have it easy, but he still said to me, he's blessed. And that sort of thing should encourage us to do with what we have, where we are. You know, that's quite, and I was then thinking about this. Successful. Is this man maybe successful? You know, and therefore I've looked a little bit in the Word of God at these things, because, you know, these pictures here, unsuccessful, you never see these as pictures that are, you know, successful people that sit in a very poor area, and maybe in India, but where there's fun, you know. And so I looked at this aspect, and the first thing that I want to talk about is the love of money. I mean, money is the favorite success measure in our world today. And I know money in itself, you know, is not wrong, it's not bad, but I just want to talk about the love of money, because the scripture says a lot about it. And you know, I just want to read two scriptures. One is in Hebrews 5 and 6. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Be content with what you have. And it's, I mean, I'm not only talking here this morning, you know, to rich people. I'm talking to us all, and I'm talking specifically also to myself, but also to people that maybe don't have that much. You know, the word says here, be content with what you have, but keep your lives free from the love of money. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7 to 10, it says, For we have brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And it almost seems like, you know, it's hard to be rich and be content with what you have, or more importantly, to walk with God. Because, you know, even I think the Lord said it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. So, you know, it always reminds me of that story about the rich young ruler. You know, when I read that again, you know, this week, it said, it says there, Jesus says to him, come and follow me. He could have been one of the disciples of the Lord. You know, the Lord gave him the invitation to be one of his closest. And yet he turned away, and because of the wealth, the riches, he couldn't sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow the Lord. So I mean, Jesus says it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom after that. And it's quite, you know, one can see it even today. You go to rich countries, wealthy countries, you find many empty churches. You find churches that are turned into hotels or museums. And, you know, so it's... You know, it's a question needs to be asked. You know, what is success, and what is if you are blessed? You know, we came into this world, as Scripture says, here with nothing, so we can't be any poorer than that. You know, so and why should we not be content with little? Because we can't take anything with; we must leave it behind. Because the reality is, you know, a person can have as much money, as much possessions, degrees, whatever. If you are not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you do not have a personal relationship with Him, you are not successful. You know, you are lost, and you will go to a lost eternity. And, you know, that is really the... You know, I've been thinking about this, and as much as one, you know, the word has also got a lot to say that the Lord wants to prosper us. And I'm not, you know, that is not what I'm denying. I'm just saying that there are just so many, many examples of where wealth and the going after wealth prevents people from coming to the Lord and going into a lost eternity. You know, because it's very often that evangelists or missionaries go into areas where there are poor people, because they are open, you know, to the gospel. But it's in areas where they are, where the rich are. You know, it's hard. It's very hard to spread the gospel. So I would just, you know, the love of money. I want to go to also talk about the love of the world, because the Scripture also has a lot to say about the love of the world. And in 1 John 2 verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boastings of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from this world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Now, those are very words that cut deep, you know, in a sense that, you know, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, you know, we must be careful to seek the praise of men and lose the walk with God. You know, it's so easy. The world will admire you, you know, and you probably will feel good about it. The world will admire you if you can debate well. You know, you can give a good debate or good argument about, you know, about evolution. You know, even if it's clearly you're not in line with God's word. I saw some time ago on television, you know, a debate going on about creation and evolution, and it was just so amazing that the guy of the evolution, you know, the guy that presented the evolution side, how the audience so often, you know, when he said something, everybody starts clapping, and, you know, but there was never once that they clap when the guy of the presented the creation side. You know, yes, that's kind of happens. And you could be a good musician, but be a drug addict or abuse alcohol, you still get a lot of praise from this world. You know, or good sportsman, sportswoman, you can openly deny the Lord. But if you're a good sportsman, you will get a lot of praise. you know, and in particular people that are good looking, movie stars, you know, that clearly live in sin and adultery, but yet there's a lot of praise and a lot of, you know, almost worship that goes on. So, you know, the world will not praise you when you spend a lot of time with God on your knees, or praise you because you spend a lot of time with the poor. In fact, they will laugh at you. They will, you know, they'll call you old-fashioned when you talk about creation, you know, and they say you're out of touch. But, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, about myself as I go through this, you know, and say, would I rather be looked at as a fool because I speak in tongues, I worship God, but I'm seen as a fool by the world, but I'm seen as one of God's children by the Creator, you know, isn't that what I'd rather, you know, want to be? Because I think then I'm successful, you know, and blessed. Let me just look at, you know, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 and 19. Talks about this fool thing. It says, do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. You know, so, look, I hope I don't, you know, talk like condemning or, you know, and you feel, you know, oh, you know, I must now sell everything I have. And, you know, but more and more I've become aware how quickly one is to value the praise of people rather than doing the will of God. And, you know, this condemning thing, the other day I heard a story and about a pastor in the Western Cape who was also getting very, he was getting very annoyed with his congregation or members of his congregation, and you know, because on a Sunday everybody comes to church and dressed up nice, but clearly during the week he sees many members of his congregation, you know, living in sin and going on, but on Sunday they come and sit in the congregation, and that Sunday morning he saw a few guys coming in and he could smell, you know, that they had a good party last night and they were still smelling very much of alcohol. Now he was, as he went up to the pulpit, you know, he was very he just wanted to get at these guys, you know. And you know, we often hear this from pulpits, but I have to say this in Afrikaans because English can't explain it. You know, and he started off and he said, "Julle moet vir julle bekeer. Julle moet julle verkeerighede laat staan. En as julle dit nie doen nie, sal julle hel toe gaan." And he said, you know, and hel is a vreeslike plek. Die woord sê, daar is 'n geween en 'n geknars van tande. And, you know, he looked up and he saw there, you know, at the back there where nobody was sitting, you know, he saw a guy smiling, you know, and in the Western Cape, you've got a lot of these Cape colored people, you know, that have no teeth, you know. So he looked, this guy, he was smiling, and then, and he was just, you know, pointed at him and said, "Yo, Asbek! En al jou mense wat nie tande het nie, vir julle sal tande gesupply word. Maar kners sal julle kners." So I don't want to condemn you this morning here or feel that way, you know. But I think, you know, blessed are those that can laugh at themselves, you know. because they will never cease to be entertained. No, so, you know, it's, but you know, it does talk to me. It does talk, I'm sure, to a lot of you as well. And, you know, if we look at the next scripture in Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon." Now, some translation says you cannot serve God and money. But Mammon is actually a word in an Aramaic language that says you cannot serve God and gain. And, you know, you could worldly gain. You know, it's not only, you can't say it's only money, but it can be the lust of the eyes or the pride of life or, you know, but we cannot serve that and God. That is what the scripture is saying, because they are contrary, you know. And do we believe the scripture? You know, that is something that we must ask ourselves. And if Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, that should give us enough motivation to leave the things of this world that, you know, that so easily draw us away from walking with the Lord. You know, because what we become on the outside is what we believe on the inside. You know, we cannot believe something on the inside and display something else on the outside. It is extremely hard to do that. You know, the same way, it's the hardest thing to display that you're a Christian. You can't display you're a Christian. You either are or you aren't. You know, so now let us just look at God's words then. I mean, what then? You know, how should we walk then? You know, and in Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." You know, to set aside all of those concerns, all of those important possessions, our body, our, you know, always having to be in with the crowd or having to be seen as successful, having the right car, the right house, and the list can go on, you know. But those things that hinder us from having a close relationship with the Lord. And I think that word entangles is so, you know, describes it so well, because it doesn't just happen one day. It's like the spider web that over time comes, you know, and entangles you. And so, you know, there may be a lot of unsuccessful people in our town in the definition of the world. They may not have a car or a house, a big house and things like that, but, you know, there may be a lot of successful people in this town that we have never seen, we have never heard about, people that have been blessed and that are continued to be blessed. You know, I think, as I shared at the beginning, this gentleman with a disabled child, I really think that although he has a cross to carry in a sense, I think he knows what it is to be content with little, accepting and rejoicing in the blessings of his child. So our race is one that needs to be done with patience and perseverance. And Christ is our example. You know, it's very difficult to even think that the Creator of the universe, you know, goes patiently to the cross to be nailed on the cross by his creation and to patiently endure it. You know, he could have spoken a word and it could all have stopped. And But he did it because he knew that with the joy of, like that scripture said, for the joy set before him, you know, he endured the cross. It's because he knew that he is reconciling God and man. And that is why he went to the cross patiently and endured the cross. You know, the reality is that, you know, if we don't live this word, we don't believe it. You know, we have to live the word. We have to, on the outside, you know, show that we live this word. The Lord never said that it's going to be plain sailing all the way, and, you know, that we'll always have an easy time. But to have success in our race, you know, he said the race that is set before us, we must show perseverance, we must show self-control, we must stand firm in the word, you know, and certainly we must believe what this word says. You know, Stephen, for instance, if you look at Stephen, you know, you think, was he successful? He was stoned. But I think in God's eyes, he was successful. John the Baptist, you know, beheaded, yet called one of the greatest prophets. So, success is not just easy. You know, I've heard someone saying, you know, success is a little like fighting a gorilla. You know, you don't quit when you're tired. You quit when the gorilla is tired. You know, so it's not easy. It's the road is not going to be just plain sailing, you know. So I just want to summarize and say, you know, in worldly terms, you know, we might look at achieving our goals, achieving our wealth, getting status, prestige, you know, and people have a good life in terms of, you know, going on big holidays and things. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that is often how it's displayed, having the dollars, the status, and so on. But, you know, if that is the definition, then Jesus was a complete failure. You know, he was born in a manger. You know, he was a carpenter. He didn't have degrees or status. You know, he didn't have stocks and shares and insurance and a house and those things. You know, in that sense, you know, he was a failure. He was cursed. He was mocked. He was spat at. You know, and he was nailed to the cross at the end of the day. And even people that were close to him, I mean, one betrayed him. Another one just said that he never knew him. So, you know, if we hear that today of someone, we'll probably say, oh, it's not very successful, you know. But Jesus was most successful. You know, the most successful person ever that walked this earth. And I think God's measure of success, I know there are probably many other words that one can look at, but I kind of looked at myself and say, you know, what would I say is God's measure of success? And I just said it's our obedience and faithfulness to him. You know, I think the Lord probably measures and says, looks at that and says, you know, oh, this person is successful. Our loyalty and obedience to him. So, like I said before, there might be many people in our town that are actually successful that we have never heard of or never seen. So, you know, let us kind of look at this and look at the things that maybe distract us, that take us away from our walk with God. You know, and I've often wondered, you know, sometimes, why am I not hearing God's voice? You know, everybody around the church says, you know, they heard from God this and heard from God this. And you think, oh, you know, what's wrong with me, you know? And, but, you know, I don't think God has stopped speaking. I think, you know, it's very often it is we've closed our ears, you know. And so let not those things of the world, the love of money and the love of the world, entangle you, but... You know, simple obedience and simple faithfulness is what's success. So don't condemn yourself that if you do not compare yourself to somebody else and say, oh. And I must say that I think it is applicable to the rich and the poor, because so often the poor are longing so after money to become rich that they also miss the calling of God. So, you know, there's probably, you know, another sermon that can be preached about how God blesses us with material things as well. But last night you could have gone to some places where there would be more people than us sitting here this morning, not worshiping God, but you know, involved with a lot of things that are not seen as success in God's eyes, and they might have a lot of money and they might have a lot of degrees and whatever they have. So you know, if you want to, you know, have some prayer this morning, you know, as other people go out and have some tea and that, I encourage you, look, I, you know, we can pray together, because maybe you can pray for me, you know. But I just want to close off in a word of prayer, and then we can go and have some tea and some prayer here. God, we just thank you again that we have come here this morning because of you. We've come here because you are the God of the universe. There is no God beside you. And we know, Lord, that one day every knee will bow before you and everyone will confess that you are Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we wanna get rid of these things that entangle us and these things that block our, that we can run this race and endure and patiently run this race, Lord. We want to run it. We want to be closer to you, Lord. We want to experience this success in your presence, Lord. We want to be blessed and hear your voice, Lord. We want to see your power working in our midst, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the blessings that you have showered upon us, Lord. And most of all, we thank you for the blood that cleanses us and for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you have sent so we can understand this word, Lord. We can walk with you and we can talk with you. We pray that we will not wander off this path, Lord, but that we will walk and not faint, but that we will soar indeed like eagles. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.